Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Let's get right back into the Word where we left off in our last program, and that's in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll pick up again in verse 9, where Paul is introducing a prayer that he offers continuously, I'm sure of, on behalf of these Colossae believers, but it is also appropriate for us today. This same prayer is for us, and I think it behooves us then in turn to pray for fellow believers. And it's also practical, but never again forget, what were these people a few months ago, a few years ago? Pagans. Pagans with no understanding of the Old Testament. They don't have the Old Testament. They don't even have any of the New Testament. And so the more you think about that, the more amazing it is that here we have a group of people that the Apostle Paul can deal with on this level and know that they knew what he was talking about. And then bring it out up into our present situation. My, it should be so much easier to teach these things today, where people have at least a cursory knowledge of the Old Testament, and they have an understanding of how Christ was born at Bethlehem and so forth. See, these people didn't have any of that. And so it really should be easier, but it isn't, because the human nature hasn't changed one iota. These people steeped in paganism were just as human as lost people are today. And it took the same power of God to bring them out of that as it does to bring a lost person to the light even today. All right, so Paul goes on, for this cause also, because of their love and their testimony. From the day we heard it, we do not cease, or we never stop praying for you. And now here comes the apostles' desire on behalf of these new believers. And we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many professing Christians today can claim to have any of that? Not very many. Not very many. And this is deep. I mean, this isn't just This isn't just the stuff on the top. This is down into the deep things, to be knowledgeable of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, how many times have you heard people say, well, you know, it's just blind faith? No, it's not blind faith. You're supposed to know what you believe. You're supposed to have an understanding of the Word that when Paul says, if someone asks, well, what's the hope that you have? You should be able to show them from the Word. And that's what he means by being skilled in it and be able to turn to portions of Scripture and let people read it. This is what God's Word says, see? All right, so he says that you might be filled, that it'll just control their lives. The knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, verse 10. This comes down into the nitty-gritty of their everyday life, Monday through Saturday. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. In other words, a person that the Lord would not have to be ashamed of. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, but at the same time, to all of the people around you, be what kind of a person? Pleasing. I do not buy this stuff that a believer has to constantly be like sandpaper to the world around them. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think we have to constantly rub people the wrong way. Now, we don't compromise. We're not going to go with the flow. But we don't have to be irritating those people around us. Paul never teaches that. But as we stand for the truth, we do it in a way that is pleasing to those around us. And that's what he's praying for, see? That you might walk worthy, pleasing to the Lord. Now, I told you we'd stop at the word fruitful, didn't I, in the last program? All right, being fruitful in every good work. Now, that's not to merit salvation, remember. Salvation isn't of works. We don't work for salvation, but we work for reward. And if we're going to have reward, we're going to have fruit. All right, now that's a term that is used quite a bit in the New Testament. I'm going to take you back, and we're going to chase a few of them down. Go all the way back to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, a portion of Scripture I'm sure that most people are fairly well acquainted with. And that's the vine in chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. We'll start at verse 4, honey. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we'll just read verses 4 and 5. John's Gospel, 15, chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me. Now, these are the words of the Lord himself during his earthly ministry. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Now here it is. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. There's that position that Paul enlarges on in the chapters that we've been studying in Ephesians especially. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much, what? Fruit. You can't help it. If you have that relationship with Christ as a result of believing the gospel, then you are positioned in Christ, and consequently you're going to be a fruit bearer. But the last part of the verse is the key. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So whatever we do with his power and with his help. And the result is that we're going to bear fruit. All right, now let's turn on over to Romans chapter 7, where again, we have the word fruit used in a different connotation. Instead of a vine and branch, we're talking about a marriage relationship. I think I used this same verse a couple programs ago. Romans chapter 7, and dropping down to verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Now this, of course, is Paul's basic doctrine of being separated from the law and all of its demands. And by grace, then, we come into a totally different relationship. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. That is the Ten Commandments, basically. By the body of Christ. In other words, by his death on the cross. Because when Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled all the demands of the law. And that's what Paul is raising here, see? All right? So we become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. And what's the purpose? That we should bring forth fruit. Now, there's nothing sexual here. There's nothing reproductive here. This is spiritual. This is just an analogy. That the marriage relationship between a husband and wife, the fruit of that relationship was what? Children. That's the fruit of the marriage. Now then, we're not talking about the physical marriage. That's merely an analogy. But the analogy now then is that just like the spouse who has lost their loved one, death has broken the law that united them together, And now the surviving one is free to marry. All right, now that's the picture. That when we became dead to the law because of the death of Christ, it settled it. Now we are free to be married to another. Instead of the law and all of its demands, we're now married to grace. See? The Savior, the Lord Himself. And it's all of grace that because He has satisfied the law and we have become dead to the law, we are now free to be united with Him in a union that is again going to produce fruit. Now, I feel the fruit here then is the fruit of a soul winner. We should be able to win lost people to Christ. Whether it's your children, your grandchildren, your Sunday school kids, whatever the case may be. This is what we should be able to show as fruit in the result of our being married to Christ. Now remember, this is all just simply a spiritual fulfillment of an earthly circumstance. All right, now then we have yet another idea of fruit. And let's see, Romans chapter 3, and, oh boy, my mind went blank. Fruit, Galatians. Boy, I thought for a minute I wasn't going to bring it back. Galatians, chapter 5. Now we have another teaching on fruit. It's a biblical concept that we're to be fruitful. How many times haven't I said it in this program? We're not saved just for a fire escape. We're not saved just from hellfire. We are saved to be fruitful. We are saved to serve, a lot of people will put it. All right, in Galatians, chapter 5. And, oh goodness, I hardly know where to start. Let's jump into verse 16, honey. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, Paul writes, walk, that is in your daily life, walk in the Spirit, that is in His control, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Well, that's obvious, isn't it? And then he goes on to tell us that the flesh will lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit has to war against the flesh because they're opposite. They're contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you can't just drift. It's a battle. Now, verse 18, but if you're led of the Spirit, if you're a true believer and you love the Lord, you love God's people, and you want the Spirit to control your life, then it's a settled fact you're not under the law. You don't have to worry about not stealing. You don't have to worry about not committing adultery because the Spirit will not lead you in that direction. And then he lists all the things of the flesh. And we covered that, of course, when we were in the book of Galatians. The works of the flesh and all the things that most people just simply take for granted today. Everybody's doing it. There's nothing wrong. Everybody else is doing it. And what are they? Adultery, fornication, immorality in all of its forms, uncleanness, lasciviousness. See, those are the things of the flesh. But you come down to verse 22, and now what do we see? Fruit. Fruit. Now, in this particular verse, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But goodness sakes, who is the Spirit working in? The believer. The fruit of the Spirit is that which comes from the believer who is under the control of the Spirit. And look, as the last part of verse 23 says, against such there is no law. You know what that means? There's nothing bad about any of these. None of these fruits will ever cause an upheaval in a community. They all enhance good living. And look at them. The fruit of the Spirit, that is, as He works through the believers. First word again is what? Love. See, and that's what the Colossians had. They had that love. It was the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. Oh, we're in a world that is frantically chasing after happiness. They never talk about joy. They're always wanting to be happy. Well, I think I've put it on the program before. There's a vast difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is simply the result of your circumstances. Everything's going great. You got money in the bank, you got a new car in the garage, and you got a new home to live in. Your kids are all in college, and there's money in the bank. No debts facing you. Boy, who couldn't be happy? But it's still an empty happiness. But joy is a spiritual thing. Joy comes as a result then of our peace with God. And that's why Paul says in Philippians over and over, rejoice, rejoice. Not because they had all these material things, they didn't. But because they had that salvation, because they were right with God, and consequently they could be joyful. So it's a fruit of the Spirit, see? All right, back to verse 22. Peace, an absence of conflict, long-suffering. Patience is another word for long-suffering. Gentleness. My, there's never anything wrong with being gentle. You'll never see a gentle person committing murder. You'll never see a gentle person constantly aggravating everybody. It's just terms that bring and a complete attitude of joy and everything in that area, whether it's a family or whether it's in the workplace or if it's in the community. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In other words, maintaining a balance, not going flip-flopping from one extreme to the other. And as I've already commented, again, such as not a one of these are an attribute that somebody would say, hey, I don't want that to happen to me. Not a one of these. They are all good attributes for anybody's Christian life. Well, it's fruit. It's the result, then, of God's working in the life of the believer. All right, back to Colossians, then, chapter 1. So all of these put together is what Paul had in mind, I'm sure. What he says, that you might be fruitful in all aspects of our life. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing day by day in the what? In the knowledge of God. Now listen. Every believer starts at the same level in his Christian life. Whether we're 8 or 80. Every believer starts in that same level. And what is it? A babe in Christ. We all begin as babes in Christ. But, just like in the physical realm, is there anything more pitiful than someone who is 40 years old and still has the mentality or the physical attributes of a 5-year-old? It's pitiful. And our hearts go out to them. Oh, I can't think of anything worse. And yet, that's most Christians. They've never gotten away from their infancy spiritually. And the Corinthians were that way. You know that. Let's go back. You know, it's been a long time since we've been in Corinthians, too, and we've got a lot of new listeners coming in every day. So for those of you who've heard all this before, bear with me. I'm doing this for the sake of new folks. Go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul writes, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, they were believers, see? He's not using the word carnal here as denoting the lost person. These were Christians who were believers, but they were still infants spiritually. They were still on milk. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And that's not the only sad part. They still weren't, however long Paul had been dealing with them. So you see, if Paul could look at our situation today, he'd probably smile and say, I know. He said, I know. I went through it. It's no different. It is so hard to get people off of the milk of the Word and into the meat. But oh, listen, once you get a taste of T-bone steak, you don't ever want to go back to a baby bottle. And it's the same way here. My, once you get a taste of how thrilling this is and how it all fits from Genesis through Revelation, hey, you can't get enough of it. Well, that's what it's supposed to be. But see, that's not most Christians. Most professing Christians are just satisfied that they're saved. Well, I hope they are. And they never intend to go any further. But oh, that's the sorry part, see, that they're content to remain as babes and on the spiritual milk. All right, back again to Colossians chapter 1. So we're to be fruitful. We're to be increasing day by day in the knowledge of God. Now, when we get down to verse 15 through 17, we're going to hit some of those areas that very few people have delved into with regard to the knowledge of God. But for now, let's just move on in Paul's prayer. Verse 11. He's praying that they would, or we would, be strengthened spiritually. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious, what's the word? Power. Now you see, none of these things that I teach can be accomplished without the power of God. It's utterly impossible. You cannot become a student of the Word without the power of God. You cannot become a child of God without the power of God. And so it's an intrinsic word that means exactly what it says, that it has to have the power of God that will bring us to where God wants us to be. All right, we only got a couple minutes left. Let's go a couple more statements here. In other words, I guess I should have pointed out, this is another one of those instances where Paul has seven things. You can pick them out yourself. You know, I'm always commenting on that. Paul didn't sit there and rack his brain and think, well, now how can I get seven statements in here? But over and over throughout his epistles, he comes out with sevenfold statements. Now that's inspiration, see, because seven, of course, is God's perfect number. And so here again, he has seven statements. And now he goes on to verse 12, that he's giving thanks to the Father who hath made us, all of us as believers, meet or has prepared us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I'm afraid I haven't got enough time left to really bring everything out that this is doing. That he is giving thanks to God the Father, who was instrumental in bringing us out of darkness and transplanting us into the kingdom of His dear Son, which, of course, is light, light, light. And we'll look at it a little further in our next program because we've only got a few seconds left. But all of this was in Paul's prayer on behalf of these ex-pagan believers who knew nothing of the past scriptures. They knew nothing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew nothing of Israel's God. They knew nothing of Christ's earthly ministry. But when Paul came in and presented the fact that one died for their sins and rose from the dead, and they believed it, God moved in and opened their understanding, see? And we'll look at that in our next program. But here again now, he is praying all of this. And this is just as appropriate for us as it was for them. We too are to be growing in the knowledge of God day by day. This week, you should know more of the Scriptures than you did last week. By this time next week, you should know more than you do today. Now, we're living in a time of exploding technology. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. But listen, there's just about as much to be learned in here.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.